Welcome everybody to the Benchwarmers Redemption. In case you just now are noticing, Matt is not here right now, so I, Alex Baker, will be am the substitute host today. And with me today is
Sebastian Merrick.
Hello, Sebastian. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Alex?
Doing good. Doing good. So we're going to be talking all day about rugby, CFL, and Australian rules football because I never get a chance to. But no. Just kidding. So we'll just kind of look in right now at the week in review. I think first thing I want to talk about, I know as a Cavs fan, you're going to want to talk about something else. I'll try to
delay. We can go to NHL.
So we did Wednesday, so it was still game seven, I think. It was game seven.
Yep, game seven was
Lightning Caps. And, you know, you got to give credit to the Caps. We're always waiting for that meme where, oh, you never get past the hump, you're always going to choke Caps being Caps. They're in the finals, and I don't think anyone would have thought they would have gotten this far. And you got to give them credit. Even if they get swept, they still went farther than anyone thought. And the game on Monday was a classic. It was back and forth. That was a bad call. If you missed it, there was an obvious cross-check on the LA Knights goal, and they really missed that. And the way that game would have gone, you know, that was the big deciding game, the goal. So who knows what would have happened. A great game, and
It seems like it's going to be a great series from what, if game one's any indication. I think it's going to be very back and forth, like you said. I think it's going to go six or seven, most likely. Yeah. Another thing, though, the Capitals, they didn't just beat the Lightning. They stomped them.
And not only that, so in recapping that series, they... Capitals kind of shocked everybody, got off to that 0-2 start, and then... Their old Caps kind of came in when they lost three in a row. And so everybody, even us, we were thinking, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Then in game six, they shut them out, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, they shut them out. And then game seven, they also shut them out at home. The Lightning didn't even score a goal in the last two games.
And Tampa's one of the most potent offenses in the NHL. I mean, Stamkos, Kucherov, mm-hmm. Tyler Johnson.
And then you got Vasilevskiy in net, and he got shut out.
Right, exactly. A Vezina candidate, so... Yeah. I mean, you got to give the Caps credit. We'll see what happens. I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Game two's tonight, right?
Yeah. And
so that'll be a very good game. I expect Vegas to come out and win that one as well. Man, it makes me bitter seeing William Karlsson just score so many goals for Vegas when we could have had him in Columbus. But,
you know, it was a story. You know, but the, like, Ovechkin are watching this. The whole playoffs, Matt is always on the show saying he should play in the regular season and then he shouldn't play in the postseason. He's always, you know, he's the T-Mac of the NHL. But he's been playing lights out. I think he's one of the big reasons why they're here, you know, why they're in the Stanley Cup
Finals. Yeah, you got Ovechkin, and he's their leader. I mean, he's very clearly their leader. You got to give Ovechkin credit. I mean... I don't think they're here without him. There's no way they're here without him. There's a reason he scored 50-plus goals in the regular season this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's got a bunch this postseason. You got to give him credit. He deserves it.
Yeah, and there's I was watching a recent video on YouTube. There's this really good sports guy called – he calls himself the Urinating Tree. But he does, like, all these videos recapping teams, why teams are terrible. He does a lot of NHL analysis, and he actually said – this season, Ovechkin could be the next Steve Yzerman. And why he was saying that is, people now know as Steve Yzerman as the captain of the Wings, part of that dynasty that won three Stanley Cups.
Right.
But he didn't win his first Stanley Cup until he was 32 years old. And he had already been in the league for over a decade at that time. He won his first. People don't know, the Red Wing, we think of the Red Wings during that run, they were this dynasty that won it all the time. Up until 97, they had been in the playoffs for over a decade, and they were always choking. They would choke in the first round. They would choke in the second. So he brought up this, you know, if he starts winning and if they win here, maybe they win another one down the road, he could get that Yzerman phase where nobody remembers all, you know, all those embarrassing losses, never getting past the second round. If he gets, so that's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, I mean, another thing, like, if, like you said, they can squash all this, like, choking. Like, if they win a Stanley Cup, they're going to... All the previous damage is done.
Yeah.
It goes away. So, I mean, and then you're, like, pressure-free in a way. They continue to just go out and make run after run after run. Now, I'll say this about the Capitals. I don't think they can continue like a dynastic run. Carlson's a free agent last time I checked. I know they got a couple other key ones that are free agents. So they have to re-sign Carlson. They have to find a way. But the problem is they locked up Orlov to a big, big contract. So I don't know how they'll find a way to pay him. But if they can, that's going to be a priority that they need to address this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, and getting a bit to the talking about the game, we talked a little bit about how there was that awful call that Curley missed a cross check. But watching that game, there was just some terrible refereeing. Mm-hmm. Because you had that, but if you remember, there was a horrible blatant interference call where he got cross. They eventually, okay, they got it right, but they had to stop, and the coach had to point it out, and it was clear as day. In the middle of the ice, he got rid of the puck like 3 seconds ago, and the guy...
And that slashing call, if you saw that.
Yeah, right? That one too. Just the refereeing has got to get a lot better, because once again, you don't... In a game like that, you cannot, like...
Yeah, it's a Stanley Cup, yeah. Yep.
And when you do the process of choosing the refs for this moment, like, this is the refs who have had the best performance or whatever, you cannot miss a blatant cross-check like that, especially when it was a goal.
Right.
But, and then so...
Yeah, that's what bothers me. Like, you can't ruin events like that. Mm-hmm. Like, bad reffing, it really gets on my nerves.
Yeah. Yeah, and just with the NHL, it was watching the game. It was a great game, but it was a shootout. And do you think Marc-Andre Fleury, if I had to say anybody who was the main reason why the Vegas Knights were in it, I would say it's Marc-Andre Fleury. He's playing.
He's amazing.
You know, it's interesting because I haven't, because my Wings have been sucking lately, so I haven't paid as much attention to the NHL as I usually do. I forgot that Matt Murray, the last two years the Penguins won the Cup, he was the guy subbing in during the finals. I was just always assumed it was Fleury. He hasn't been in the Stanley Cup Finals since 2009 when they beat the Red Wings. And he's playing. He's 34 years old. He's playing just like he was back in 2009. He's like the shots he saved against the Jets in the Western Conference Finals were incredible.
Yeah,
Then again, he got roughed up for 4 goals. Do you see that it's going to be kind of more like Game 1 where it's shootouts, or do you think it's eventually going to settle down where it's going to be like 2-1, 3-2, that kind of thing?
I don't think you'll see 10 goals in a game, but I think you could see like a 3-2. Mm-hmm. And I think there'll be a couple games, maybe like a 2-1. Like Holtby did not have a good night in game one. Like, I think it's safe to say he had a pretty bad night. But I think he'll bounce back. I think Fleury will continue to be excellent. And the scoring will go down, but it's still not going to take away from the great series that it's going to be. Yeah. It's must-watch television, definitely. For sure.
And what's so, let's read that the intro. You ever seen the Knights intros? The games?
Yeah.
When there's always like some guy with a costume.
Wasn't it like a Cirque du Soleil thing?
Yeah, they always have like this, the knight. And yeah. It's like some like arrogant like other warrior dressed up in like, you know, Caps garb or King's garb or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is always, you know, taunting the fans, and the Knight comes on, he throws them across the ice. It's a pretty cool watch.
Really?
Matt doesn't like it because he thinks the drummers are stupid, but I
don't they
it.
Have some don't they have like a celebrity like drumming up too?
Yeah, last the first game they had they had Little John.
Really?
Yeah,
I saw Terrell Owens did it one time.
Yeah, they had Jeremy Roenick. They had one of the Vegas performers. He's got like 100 facelifts, but he did one of it, so yeah.
That's funny. That's good. Vegas, they feel like the team of destiny. They feel like a team of destiny. And as Matt says, like, there is a history of like tragic events happening, but the sports teams, I'm kind of buying into that theory a little bit.
Yeah,
you see it everywhere.
They
like,
have great success, and they at least get to the finals, whatever happens.
Right, I mean, Houston with the Astros. Now the Rockets kind of let them down last night, but we'll get into that later. Who else was it?
Well, the Yankees in 2001 went to the World Series and almost won it.
Mm-hmm. There's another one too.
Boston.
Yeah, I was like, which one was I forgetting of?
Boston Strong, which is one of the most annoying hashtags. So anytime some city has something happen, it's hashtag this city strong.
Vegas Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of get a little.
It is fascinating, though, because the Knights, first of all, last year when it was announced, oh, there's an expansion team and they're in Las Vegas, I thought that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because hockey, just for the most part, doesn't really do well in like warm climate areas as far as teams. California's had some success. I mean, a lot of Kings fans hopped on the bandwagon, I think, when they got good and they won those two cups. In the early 2000s, after, you know, Gretzky left, nobody gave a crap. The Sharks, okay. But I didn't really think the Knights were going to do anything. And I don't, like, you look at the odds.
I don't think anyone did.
No, like, the Vegas odds for them winning the cup, like, if you laid down a bet for, like $30 or something, you could take home, like, $100,000, I think, right now. So,
I mean, it's time to be those people.
Yeah. And
my goodness. That's the one thing. Like, if I had a time machine, the one thing I would do is cash in on, like, all those upset teams. Yeah. That would be the number one thing I'd do.
I would bet money on App State beating Michigan in 2007. And then I would bet money in 2017. I would bet money on UNBC. Howard beating UNLV, which was the biggest upset against the spread. Right. And then I would also lay money on UMBC beating Virginia. That would be your millionaire for life.
Right. I mean, you'd be perfect.
Hashtag Back to the Future, too, because that was one of the plots. They try to go back in time and get Sports Almanac. But, the NHL, it's been a great series. I'm really looking forward to it. And I guess now we might as well get into the shocking turn of events in the NBA.
And I'm
absolutely shocked that this happened. Shocked. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors both moved on, and they're meeting for just the fourth time since 2015, and LeBron James is in the finals for just the eighth time since 2011. So I'm going to let you talk because I just don't care about the NBA. People who listen to this show knows I just don't give a crap. I love the Pistons, but they haven't been relevant in a long time. And I just don't care about LeBron James or the NBA. So I'll let you take the floor and talk about the games.
All right. I love it.
Talk as much as you want.
Well, we can start with did you watch any of the Warriors Rockets? I'm guessing you did not.
No. I was watching. That was the same night as the Knights.
Correct.
I turned it over during halftime just to see what the score was.
The intermission break.
Yeah. And then the Rockets were up by like 13. And I'm like, doesn't matter. Talk to me when the game's over and they're still ahead. And then I turn back at the end of the game like, oh, they won. Well, what a shock.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that for Houston. I'll start with Houston first. I mean, there were a lot of things that, like, anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. First, Chris Paul. I mean, that's a huge loss. And I think if they had Chris Paul, they would have won the series. I really do believe that.
But you know why Houston never moves on? Because James Harden and Chris Paul are losers.
Yeah.
They're losers. And even though Matt is the biggest Chris Paul fan in the world, especially loved him when he was playing at Wake Forest, he's a loser. And remember, LeVar Ball read 48 Laws of Power.
Yep.
And I forget what other things he always repeats, but okay. I got it out of the way.
I think Chris Paul is a huge factor, obviously. Also, they missed like 27 straight three-pointers.
Oof.
Like, and there, some of them weren't even close. Some of them were fouls that the refs did not call. I'm going to say that. I'm going to be that one person. The refereeing was really bad. It was really bad. Now, I don't know if it had an outcome on the game, but definitely switched the momentum a little bit. I'm still going to blame the Rockets because even if like six of those were fouls, you still can't make up one three-pointer out of 21. Like, come on, guys. I mean, think if they just made a third, they will have won the game by like 10, 11. So, I mean, they have only themselves to blame, in my opinion. Obviously, we can talk about Chris Paul, but you can't go miss 27 straight. I mean, live by the three, you die by the three. So... Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Michigan State game in the tournament this year against Syracuse. They, for the entire game, Tom Izzo thought we could shoot three-pointers, and we missed like 20 in a row. We could not hit one, and then we ended up losing. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah.
But, like you said, you can't – you also got to give Golden State credit. Steph Curry was incredible, as he usually is. Klay Thompson was the one in foul trouble early. He picked up 3 fouls in the first 4 minutes. So that kind of was a big factor. But Steph Curry, KD was great game 7 as well. But you just got to give him credit, man. I mean, you got to give him credit. I love it. Part 4. I've wanted a rematch versus Golden State. I want to beat the crap out of them. But we can talk about the Celtics.
Yeah, if you
want to
talk a bit about Celtics Cavs, once again, I did not watch any of it.
But I mean, I think obviously the Celtics were god awful from 3-2. I mean, they only put up 79 points. So I mean, the one thing is LeBron set the tone. LeBron won that game last night. LeBron and Jeff Green was great replacing Kevin Love. Now, that's going to be a factor once it comes finals time. Kevin Love has to be healthy in order for the Cavs
to... Doesn't he get hurt, like, all the time, though?
Yeah, but he has a concussion. He can't, like, be in the arena.
Okay, I
know. For, like, sights and sounds and stuff like that. So, and then for Golden State, obviously, Iguodala. He's got to get healthy, too. He's a big, big part of what they do. So, I'm looking forward to it. Cannot wait for Thursday. Will you be watching Thursday?
What do you think?
No. Well, if there's a game 7.
No. I don't.
You're going to watch a game 7.
No. I don't care about the NBA because we've had these exact same 4 matchups the last 4 seasons. And the last 8 seasons, the same guy has led his team to the finals. It's repetitive. It's boring. Look at every other sport. There's parity. There, you know, last year, baseball, Astros won their first ever World Series. Eagles won their first ever Super Bowl. Okay, Penguins won it last 2 years, but we're going to get either an expansion team winning the Stanley Cup or a team that's never been in the league for almost 50 years and never won it. Then you get the NBA where it's basically LeBron or it's not LeBron. It's a 50-50 toss-up, so it's either LeBron or the Warriors. And when LeBron's gone, it's going to be Warriors and somebody else. It's not exciting to me. You're a Cavs fan. Obviously, you find exciting. But for the other 30 fan bases in the league or 28,
I think the Rockets fans were excited once they were on 3-2. I think the Rockets fans, I think the Celtics fans too. The Celtics have a bright future. Celtics, if they're fully healthy, they could beat, I'm a Cavs fan, they could beat us. They probably would have beat us if they were fully healthy because the Cavs were awful. They played like garbage this series. So, I mean, we'll see. I think obviously if you're listening to the media narrative, everyone's got like Warriors in 5, Warriors in 4, 6. I haven't seen one person say the Cavs got any chance. I'll be the one person that says the Cavaliers do have a chance, I think. But it's going to be LeBron's going to have to go for 40. Kevin Love's going to have to be healthy and go for 20 and 12. And then 2 of Jeff Green, J.R. Smith, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, and Kyle Korver have to combine for 30. 2 of those players have to combine for 30. And then the rest are fillers. And then we got play defense. You got a chance.
Okay. Obviously, I care so much. And, you know, some people are saying, you know, Cavs in 5. Some people saying Warriors in 5. I say, who gives a crap? But
I never want Cavs in 5. If I hear Cavs in 5, going to watch the game with them, man.
So I guess I'll just have you because, like I said, it's hard for me to, like, get really animated because I just, like, the NBA is just repetitive and dull for me. But you're a big NBA guy. You watch it all the time. I'm a Pistons fan. I watch them, but, you know, they disappoint me constantly. So my season's pretty much over in December. But defend the NBA. Do you like this where obviously you're a Cavs fan, but even if you weren't a Cavs fan, say you're, like, a T-Wolves fan or a Celtics fan, do you like where the NBA is heading, even if it is, you know, very repetitive?
I mean, like, I could see their, me personally, yes, but I can see the point of view where, like, fan bases are tired of seeing a LeBron versus Warriors. But another thing, I know also people want to see, like, the big boys in the finals in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, people want to see LeBron versus Golden State again. there are people out there that want to see, like, mm-hmm. the best play. Good point. So, I mean, I think the NBA is definitely trending upward for sure. I think the ratings are proving that. You get more viewerships, more watching. And to be honest, next year, depending on how the offseason goes, there's going to be a lot of teams that have a decent chance to compete for a championship, depending on how the offseason goes. Seriously.
Like, oh, yeah, the Sixers, because they're going to get LeBron next year.
Well, if they do, then definitely the Celtics will have a chance. The Rockets, if they retain Chris Paul. The Warriors, obviously. The Spurs, if they get Kawhi back healthy, they're going to have a chance to compete. The Timberwolves, if they progress like they should, they should be in it. If Toronto doesn't, I think the NBA is in a good spot. Now I think if Kevin Durant was on the Warriors, maybe they'd be in a better spot, because it's mm-hmm. hard watching a team with four All-Stars. But I think the NBA is in a good spot.
I will say, because the NBA knows how to market its stars. The NBA, I'm not going to lie and say it used to be pure. It's always been a superstar league.
Mm-hmm.
Even the 2000s, you had Kobe and Shaq. The 90s, you had Jordan and Pippen. 80s, you had Bird and Magic. It's all 70s, you had, like, well, I don't know, Dr. J. So yeah, in the
Bill Russell.
Yeah, Bill Russell back in the 60s and 50s. You always had your big superstars. I will say that's how they marketed, but I always just miss teams, the teams. Like, the last finals I remember getting excited about was the 2011 finals, when Dirk Nowitzki took on the big superstars, Bosh, Wade, and James, and he beat them in six. Because the Mavs they played as a team. Like, he had, like, J.J. Barea. Nobody remembers J.J. Barea now. But that man played on fire in that series. You had, you know, Sean Marion and Jason Kidd, who were near retirement age, and they were playing. Yeah. You had a good series, and you saw the team play together and take on the superstars and beat them. I always liked that team. Ever since then, like, right after that, it's been LeBron.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, 2014, when the Spurs won, team effort.
Mm-hmm.
That was a team. That was a team.
2004 Pistons. That's always been my favorite team, because they took on, if you look at that Lakers team they beat, not only did they have Kobe and Shaq, they also had Karl Malone and Gary Payton. So, like, that was an all-star team. And not only did they beat them, they beat the ever-loving crap out of them. They were lucky to win one game
right.
in that series. So
mm-hmm.
I just like it better when, you know, you get the teams that, you know, that aren't the big superstars. Like, nobody on that 04 Pistons team is going to the Hall of Fame, I don't think. Maybe Chauncey, or maybe Rip, maybe Ben Wallace, but they're all maybes.
Right.
You have four Hall of Famers on that Lakers team, and we kicked the crap. I want to see that.
Hey, you might see it this finals.
No, because it's going to be LeBron, or it's going to be Curry. It's going to be Curry or Thompson or Durant or Green or LeBron or not Irving. Whoever else, they rotate so many people on your team. I keep forgetting.
I forget to keep
Kevin Love. But he's injured, though.
So, right.
I don't know. Just
that's the thing, though. It's LeBron by himself. He's got, like, no mm-hmm. help at all. So yeah. We'll see. I mean, I know you love that 07, the 22-year-old LeBron.
Oh, God.
Single-handedly Pistons. That was fun.
That was a nightmare for me. How old were you? Were you, like, four?
No.
You youngins.
How old? That's a good question.
So this was 11 years ago.
11 years. Okay, so I was 8.
Yep, I was 14. And I remember staying up to watch that game. I wasn't allowed to stay up. I snuck downstairs in my basement to watch the game. And we had it because remember that series. We were up 2-0. And you guys kicked our butts in the two games, but, like, we're playing home. We beat LeBron last year. We got it. And I just remember we could not stop him.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt so.
He scored, like, 18 straight.
Yeah, it's just like he was just driving to the net every time, and we could not stop him. And I just, it was just, that was sort of the end for the Pistons, because
right.
We fired Flip Saunders. No, we gave Flip Saunders another year, but, like, the next year, that was the big Celtics team, and nobody was beating them. So then after that, we fired Saunders, and never been the same.
Was it then they hired Mo Cheeks? Was that, or did they?
No, it was, his name was...
Lawrence Frank.
No, it was before, it was the guy, his last name was Curry. I don't think any relation. It was like, it was Stephen Curry or something Curry. Not Steph Curry, obviously, but I forget his name. he didn't do anything. He didn't even last the season. And then it was, yeah, Lawrence Frank. No, John Kuster. Then Lawrence Frank.
Oh, John Kuster.
Then Mo Cheeks. And then Stan the Man. And then I don't know who we're going to get now. But
they want the Wayne Casey, so we'll see.
The biggest thing the Pistons ever screwed up was getting rid of Chauncey Billups in 08 for Allen Iverson. That is one of the most disastrous trades ever. Joe Dumars went from being like, he made all these decisions back in the day where you thought like, oh my God, what the hell is he doing? Like, you know, getting rid of Grant Hill for Ben Wallace, getting rid of Rick Carlisle for Larry Brown, that actually worked. And you're like, oh, never mind. He's a genius. He'll keep doing that, right? Nope. So, but anyway, enough rant about the Pistons for you 10 Pistons fans who listen into the show every day. Now, so going into the NBA, there is almost breaking news, which I find absolutely hilarious. Oh, it's really
funny.
So, Brian Colangelo, the president of the Sixers, there's an investigation that he has used multiple anonymous accounts to support his own work on social media, as well as to take shots at his own players. That is hilarious. That's the most pettiest thing I have ever heard about.
did you see, like, the players he was taking shots at, Markel Fultz, Embiid, they said he has, like, 5 burner accounts on the accusation. He came out and denied it, obviously. The Sixers announced today they're launching an investigation into it.
This is awesome.
So we'll see. If this is true, I might set up 5 burners of my own.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, this is...
So when was he... let me look.
They said he ran a Philly... He claims that one of those accounts that was accused of is his, but he says he never used it, and they said that's true. That account does never tweet. So, but the other 4 that tweet a lot, he denies them. If you read the whole allegation, pretty much the accusations are hilarious. Like,
let me read some of them.
I know one of them was taking a shot at Sam Hinkie.
Yeah, and there's some about Embiid. There's
Markel Fultz.
Yeah, he's taking shots at, like, why? Like, first of all, your team just had a big turnaround. They were absolute garbage for so many years. I mean, he's the same guy that coined the term trust the process. Is that the same?
No, it's Sam Hinkie.
Okay, my bad. But, you finally turned the team around, and now you're taking shots at them? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, he didn't turn the team around, in my opinion.
I mean, but the team is finally overall turning around.
I mean, he
irrelevant.
Had the easiest. He literally has the shoe in. Like, this, literally, he just goes in and has a free turnaround, pretty much, because Sam Hinkie suffered through all the 10-win seasons, but it got him elite draft picks. And Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Dario Saric. Now, that didn't really work. Markel Fultz. Imagine if they took Jason Tatum. Just imagine if they took Tatum instead of Markel Fultz. We might be talking about a Sixers-Warriors finals instead of the Cavs.
No, we wouldn't, but...
We might. There's a chance.
But just reading about this, like, this is crazy. Why would you take shots at your own? I mean, I get what you say it behind closed doors, but like this is something a child would do, like make up an anonymous account and then say, "Well, these guys suck," and then he not only has been taking shots at his players, but he's also using these accounts to like build up his own ego. So when people criticize him, he's gonna comment as random person number 400, and he's gonna be like, "Well, I think he's a great person. I think Colangelo's doing a great job." Like, this is something like middle schoolers and high schoolers do. When I used to do films, film student stuff. Like, kids would like put their stuff on IMDb and rate it like 10 out of 10. It posted as anonymous user. Like, oh, this guy's a brilliant filmmaker. I don't know who he is, obviously, but I think he's brilliant. This is what it seems like to me. Just
right.
Oh my God.
I mean it. It's really funny, like, just when you think, because I was kind of disappointed that I had to wait 2 more days till the finals, but the NBA doesn't let me down, man. You always get action. I know you have your own opinion, but I mean, it's really bad if this, let's say it's true, I would imagine he'd be gone. Hopefully they could bring back Sam.
You think this is a fireable offense?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. Owners always... I do.
Because he's not the owner, though.
I mean...
He's the president of basketball operations. And, well, I'll start with this. A, Adam Silver made them hire Brian Colangelo. He made them fire Sam Hinkie because they literally kept losing and losing and losing and losing. And it was bad for the NBA pretty much because there were 29 teams that were on to win. And then there was one team.
How dare you say that the NBA has a bunch of teams who tank?
Back then.
The Sacramento Kings are just about to turn the corner. I don't know what you're talking about.
But, I mean, so Silver made them fire Hinkie or made Hinkie resign in a way, and Bron Colangelo. So there was that. The Sixers fans didn't really embrace Colangelo at all. And he's not had, and even if he's tenure as president of basketball operations has not been that good, to be honest with you. He got, like, anyone can take that role. He just gave Brett Brown a 3-year extension, which is laughable to me. And the, like, Brett Brown, give him credit for staying through the process, but my goodness, he had an awful series versus Boston. His draft picks, Markel Fultz, the number one. How's that looking right now? It's looking pretty bad. Think it, and you traded this Sacramento Kings first round pick next year. This year in 2019, the Celtics got that pick. You traded that pick to go up two spots to get Markel Fultz.
Oof, not good.
And you could add Jason Tatum. Wow. Just wow. I mean,
I'm not sure if he's going to get fired. Not that this isn't like a fireable offense or it's embarrassing.
We'll see.
But like, higher ups always get away with stuff. I mean, Irsay should not be an owner. What he got away with, a player would be out of the league forever or at least a very long time.
I agree.
And he gets away with it. Jerry Jones, like I know people in Dallas who can tell you stories about the stuff he's done. He gets away with it, so I don't know. I mean, I know, once again, these are owners. He's a president, but I don't know. I think somehow that he's going to find a way to get away with it.
They'll probably say it's not true. They'll probably say, like, after the investigation is complete, we do not find evidence that these accounts are Brian Colangelo's.
I want to know his emails. I want the email. I want the emails.
Right.
Tell us what happened in Benghazi. That's what I say. But anyway. Okay, so moving on a little bit, we talked about NHL, now we talked about the NBA. So we'll talk a little bit about baseball. We're now wrapping up. It's been 2 months into the season. So looking at the standings, I know recently your Central, looks like your Indians, which are waking up a bit. They've won 7 of their last 10. They've won 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers, just 4.5 games back. They're breathing down your neck.
That's pretty close, man. That's really close.
Yeah, I just don't see it. Like I said, 2 weeks ago when we took 2 or 3 from you guys and we were like just around 500 and you guys weren't doing so hot, I'm like, man, you know, this keeps up a couple more weeks, we might have something here. And then they lost like 5 in a row. And they just got killed again by the...
How close is Minnesota?
They're tied with second. They're 4.5 back.
And
then the Royals are just rearing behind at 10 back, and then the White Sox are 11.5 back. Woo! So.
White Sox, man. Yeah. They're only 20 games under 500. They can make a run.
Yeah. Just, you know, it all went downhill for them because who was the guy that brought his kid to the game and then that started the whole thing? Was it
Adam LaRoche?
Adam LaRoche. Let your kids come to the games. But
it's a plan, man. Did you see the story out of the Dominican Republic where it accused Jose Ramirez of PEDs? But MLB baseball and the Indians came out yesterday and denied it. MLB baseball even denied it. Major League Baseball. So that's pretty interesting. That kind of scared me for a moment when I read that story. I'm like, he's one of our better hitters, obviously. He's one of the best third basemen in the game. That's not good if he gets suspended. But that was good to see he's not true. But it's interesting how they could write something like that. That's not true. Well, it might be true. You never know. But
hey, you remember about 3-4 years ago, Fausto Carmona, whose name really wasn't Fausto Carmona. That was hilarious.
Roberto Hernandez, and he was 2 years older.
Yeah, he was 2 years
than
older.
Then what I said, oh. Yeah,
that was great.
Always, what is it with these Dominican players, man?
Yeah, Miguel Tejada. Wasn't Miguel Tejada fake his identity? Or he had some, he was PED.
He was PED. But
it was something about, like, he had the same thing where he's not as old.
Cano,
yeah.
So, I mean, it always seems like those Dominican players just juice up a little bit.
Yeah, baseball player. The steroid era is over, Sebastian. I don't know what you're talking about. Robinson Cano did not take steroids. It was a smear campaign. But looking a bit at the division, so we got the Red Sox and the Yankees toe-to-toe, Orioles. Fighting for a number one pick in the draft.
That's the one thing for the Orioles. We'll see how much longer. Well, obviously, they're going to trade Machado. The question is, when do they pull the trigger on it? I mean, they're 21 games under. They're 17-38, if I'm not mistaken.
17-38. Okay. 21 games behind the Red Sox. They ain't going anywhere this year.
Woo! They're going to have to. They're going to have to rebuild. They should have traded him last year. I mean, man, I think they have to trade it all. I think they got
fire sale, baby.
I think Machado's got to go. Jones has to go. Britton. Before I get ridiculed, they might have to consider trading one of Kevin Gausman or Dylan Bundy, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Both are those player pitchers are under control, but you're not going to get the elite level prospects you want for rentals. You're just not. Mm-hmm. And almost every Orioles player is a rental. If you trade I'm just going to say Dylan Bundy will get you more than Gausman. But if you trade like a Bundy, he's got how many years of MLB service? Like 2, 3?
Let me look it up. But keep talking.
He's got like 2, 3 years, I think. I might be wrong, of service. Let's say the rebuild takes like, and you completely tear it down, right? But the rebuild itself is going to take at least 3 years. And then he'll be a free agent. But you trade his remaining years, you could get elite-level prospects back. You can. Like, you can get a top 20 prospect in return. And, like, a top with an additional, like, top 100 prospect. You can get a very nice return for under control Dylan Bundy.
This is his third year. Sorry to interrupt, but this is his third year in the league.
This is his third year. So he has this year, and he'll have 3 more years left of eligibility before he's a free agent. I think it's safe to say if the Orioles tear it down, they're not going to be, which they should do, they're not going to compete in 3 years.
No, it's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a really, really long time. So you should trade Bundy, maybe even trade Scope too. Like, go Miami Marlins, man. Go Astros. See what happened with the Astros.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally tore it all down. Like, and then 8 years later, World Series champs could win another. Because, yeah. I mean, well, that's what they should do. If I'm Dan Duquette, I also think Buck Showalter is out of there. Whether he gets fired or resigns, he's gone. There's no way he lasts beyond this year. He does not want to go through that. I think Dan Duquette's days are numbered. I think it's going to be a long, long, long off season for Orioles fans. I think their window closed a long time ago, like in 2013, 2014.
14 was their big year.
Yeah. So I think their window kind of shut. They had to win it then.
Yeah, you probably weren't even alive to remember, but Buck Showalter had this stigma that he, like, you fire him, the next guy comes in, leads you to a World Series.
Right.
Because he was the Yankees manager in 95, and, like, at that time, it's hard to imagine, but they didn't make the postseason for, like, over a decade. He gets them back, Steinbrenner fires him. They bring in Joe Torre the next year, and they win the series, and then their dynasty starts.
Arizona, too.
So you just have to, you fire him, you win that World Series. That's what happens.
They should have fired him after 2014 then.
Yeah. Okay, so looking more at the Syndergaard is on the DL, I believe.
Right. I'm so disappointed in the Mets. I was all on them. I'm still believing we can get one of those wild card spots, but man.
Well, they're your second favorite team.
Well, I don't really have a second favorite team, but I'm rooting for my boy Mickey Callaway to do well. He was a big part of the Indians pitching staff. I'm so disappointed in them. They were one of the best teams to start off the year. Obviously, completely fell off. They're five games back.
5 games back. They are currently sitting at 500.
They had a tough walk-off loss last night. Johan Camargo hit a walk-off. It's the Mets, man. I'm disappointed in the Mets. I think they can still get a wild card, but, man, it's whatever has gone wrong or could go wrong is going wrong. They have a lot of injuries right now, too. Mm-hmm. Wilmer Flores is on the DL. A.J. Ramos is on the DL. A.J. Ramos has had an awful year for them.
Yeah, the Matt Harvey debacle was the right, big one.
I mean,
he didn't. Like, what pissed me off about this, which kind of reminds me of some Tigers pitchers, is that he was doing awful, and then he says, "I can still pitch. I don't want to go down to the minors," and that's why they got rid of him.
Right.
And it's like we had like the Tigers for a while had Anibal Sanchez, and he was going through god awful spells. But at least he said, "I suck right now. I'm gonna go to the minors because I can't play right now. I'm gonna prove my game and step it up."
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what you do. You own up. You and realize wasn't that you good suck.
For a couple. His last couple of months in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't great or good, but he wasn't awful. He was okay, like a number five or a number four starter caliber.
It was passable, but my point is at least he had the, you know.
It was better than what he was earlier.
Yeah, and he had the gall to admit it. I mean, Scherzer famously in 2010, he was terrible to start the season. Came back from the minors, went on a great stretch.
Right.
So I just.
Yeah, I agree with you. And now he's stuck in Cincinnati. Enjoy that.
19-37 that they are. But yeah, looking at the standings, there's some big surprises. The Braves, who were crap for a couple of years, now they're at the top of the division.
They're going to stay for a while, in my
Brewers,
opinion.
Brewers, Rockies, it's exciting.
The NL West is really
tight.
We're
2 months into the season, got a long ways to go, but what are your overall impressions so far? Tell us a bit about the Indians. Has their hitting improved since last time we checked?
They lead the baseball in runs scored. So it's completely been different than what it was in April. They probably were the worst offense. In May, right now, they've been the best offense. So that the bullpen is a big issue. Their bullpen is easily the worst in baseball. It makes me, I don't know if Matt told you, but it makes me want to puke watching them.
You're so cute talking about bullpen struggles. Why don't you become a Tigers fan and put up with the last decade of bullpen struggles?
You know what our bullpen ERA is this year?
You know what? I don't care. Because you know what? Try watching a Jose Valverde start. Take a time travel back to 2012 and watch a Jose Valverde pitch. Like, watch Fernando Rodney do a check on a third baseman in the 06 World Series, throw it like 5 yards behind him and let the guy walk in for a run. You don't know how bad bullpen struggles are unless you've been a Tigers fan. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm experiencing some now, man. Our bullpen ERA is 6-2-1. Mm-hmm. That's, as you know, it's really, really bad.
Do you have Joe Nathan flipping off your own fan base?
No, but we have a lot of pitchers that ERAs are in the mid-7s, 8s, or in the case of our brilliant specialty lefty reliever, Jeff Beliveau, who, I don't know if you remember, he was Tampa for a while. His ERA is at 12.50. Still in the majors for some reason, but that's besides the point.
I've lived through this so many times.
I mean, the Indians will... The only good relievers the Indians have are Andrew Miller, who's on the DL again, which I can't tell you how big of a loss that is, and Cody Allen, who's getting 6-out saves. He has to pitch 6-out saves every game because everyone else is so incompetent. Zach McAllister, Dan Otero, Tyler Olson. I mean, I can go on and on. They all suck. They all are garbage.
Warwick Sopold.
Better.
Joel Zumaya.
Sopold's had a good year so far, I'm pretty sure.
Remember Joel Zumaya had one great year. Everybody thought he was going to be great. Then he broke his leg broke his arm playing a Guitar Hero game. And then his career went to crap.
Hey, yeah, Joaquin Benoit was good for you guys.
Yeah, and then he served up a grand slam to David Ortiz in the 03 ALCS. So.
Wasn't that 13?
Yeah, 13, that's what I said. Oh, 03. Yeah, we didn't go anywhere in 03. We lost 119 games. But okay, so anything else you want to talk about the MLB? Is there anything else that's on your mind?
I want to call out Arizona for a little bit. The Diamondbacks, I had high expectations for them. They need to wake up.
It's not as disappointing as the Dodgers, though.
Well, they lost Seager. I mean, Arizona, look at they've lost 16 of 17.
Seven of the last 10.
Right, okay. They've been on a really, really, really bad stretch lately. They were like, they started the year 24-11, if I want to say, if I'm correct. It was around there. And now they're one game over 500?
Two games, and they're a game and a half behind the Rockies for first place.
They need to wake up. Bottom line is, wake up.
That division
Goldschmidt is supposed to be an elite, maybe the best first baseman in baseball. He's been straight garbage in May. He's hit below 200 in the month of May. He needs to wake up. Jake Lamb, come on, man. I mean, Arizona, I have World Series expectations for Arizona. They started out so good, man. And then they only scored like 30, 40 runs as a team so far in the month of May. Now, I don't know what their game was last night.
They have won two in a row, though.
Right. So who they play? Who they play last let's night?
Look. I know they played Oakland. But I'm gonna click on
I know they played Oakland on Sunday. But they've been so disappointing to me. Them and the Mets are big disappointments for me in the National League. I also want to give credit to Philadelphia. I don't think they're going anywhere. You got, I think, Gabe Kapler, man, Mr. Analytics.
And Mr. Coconut Oil, I believe is his name, as Matt calls him. Their next game, to talk about what you said, they play a little one-off game against the Reds. They're wrapping up a series against the Reds. Okay. And then they got three games against the Marlins, so that's going to be a check that off as a win.
Yeah. So they played easy teams. So this is when they need to start getting their act together. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I think Arizona, they've been a big disappointment. I want to give Philly some credit. They've been great. They really have. And thanks to the AL Central for continuing to stink it up for us. Well, we could be under 500. Yeah. We'll still win that division.
It's always been a really. It's like there's always one or two decent teams.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess we could move on a little bit to the NFL. Looks like not a lot going on. Do you want to talk more about the anthem thing, or we kind of talked
about
that
today? Whatever you feel like you want to do. I mean, I think. Back through the anthem, I know they're like players. There's a story that came out that said players would sit out if Eric Reed or Kaepernick didn't have a contract with the NFL team. So, I mean, it's just the.
I think with really Kaepernick, he's been out of the league now for 2 years.
Right.
And even when he was playing last couple of years, he was throwing a lot of. He getting sacked a lot. He was throwing a lot. He was making a living off his legs. So. All the politics and everything aside, I'm not sure if he does get signed, it would be as a backup. I don't know people would, even if they look past the politics, they're going to be like, he's been out of the league for 2 years.
Right.
So I'm not sure, but anything, we've talked, you guys talked a lot about the anthem thing last week. Anything else to add? Because I don't really have much else to say.
I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion on it.
Me neither.
Whatever, we'll see. I mean, whatever the NFL came up. I know they came up with the new agreement.
Yeah,
so.
And there's a lot of backlash against the players. Mm-hmm. So
mostly,
yeah.
I think the players, if you don't want Stanford, just stay in the locker room. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, because remember back in the day, it was only recently that they televised the national anthems, and back in the day. The players wouldn't even show up on the field until after the national anthem was over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, last 15 years or so, it was we got to have the national anthem, and then you got to unfurl the big flag that covers the entire field, and right. You got to stand for it. So, if you want, I guess if you want to just the whole con- and like now like they won't even televise the national anthem anymore because everything. So I think, you know what, if it's best for everybody, if you want to stay in the locker room doing it and go back to the way it used to be, I guess that wouldn't be such a big deal, especially now that you don't even broadcast the anthem anymore. Nobody can be offended if they can't see it on TV.
So right. That's what I say. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So, oh, okay, sources. Looks like Brandon Marshall has signed the Seahawks to a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about it? Marshall has been in the league now for 13 years. He's just a one-year deal.
$2 million, Matt, if he reaches his max incentives.
He didn't play. He was injured quickly last year, so I don't know. It's just, he's like a guy who I think he's cursed because he's 12 years, solid career, but never been in the playoffs once.
Right. I don't think he'll be in the playoffs with Seattle this year.
Yeah. I'm surprised the Ravens didn't pick him up because that's their gig. They always get old, washed-up wide receivers.
Yeah. He would fit well. I think it's much ado. I think Marshall's kind of washed up now.
He is washed up, but you got to get somebody for Wilson because Wilson was, yeah, he had a good year last year, but there was just nobody he could throw it to. He was just, you watch the games, he was running all the time because he had no offensive line. He was scrambling, he was having to do everything, and then that's why they missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I agree with you. I think that's where they need to improve the most, offensive line, give him some protection. Obviously, Richard Sherman being gone, there's talk about Cam Chancellor not being healthy enough to play. So Seattle's in an interesting situation. We'll see
I think that they're now in rebuilding mode. Their glory years are behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. I think this might be Pete Carroll's last year, too.
Pete Carroll will just do what he usually does and blame Bush and say 9/11 was an inside job. That's true. Look it up, by the way. Look it up, people. Pete Carroll thinks 9/11 was an inside job. But, so what else is in the, I'm looking at
Martin. OTAs have begun.
Have you been watching the NFL Network Top 100?
I'm not. I know Odell got ranked really low. Really, really low.
Really, well, he didn't play a lot last year.
He was
year.
Like seven in the 70s.
Is he the new T? You think he's the new TO, where he's just going to be too much of a head case? Where the talent's obviously there, but he's just kind of a team cancer?
I still think it's a little harsh to say that. I mean, he's still very, very young. He still hasn't. Let's see what happens when he gets his contract, because he still hasn't been paid yet.
Good point.
If I'm Odell, I'm not playing until I get paid. I'm sitting out. Because you saw what happened last year. Tore his ACL. I'm not playing a single snap for the Giants until I get my contract. And he's got all the leverage. He's got Nike deals. He's got a Nike deal. He's got all kinds of endorsements. I mean, I would sit out. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and they're going to need him because then who else is Eli going to throw to besides the opposing team?
I think he likes the opposing team more than Odell. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was interesting. I was watching a little bit of NFL Network. So Sam Darnold's with the Jets. And
Where's Matt? The bash on him. Bash on him.
But you got also, I just realized that they picked up Teddy Bridgewater.
Correct.
For the Jets. That's going to be an interesting. Do you think Bridgewater gets the is going to get the job?
No, because they still got Josh McCown there too. I know that sounds
Josh McCown,
little,
like, oh, that's some tough competition there.
Well, they said right now that Josh McCown's number one on the depth chart. So,
I guess because Bridgewater had that bad injury. I always think that Bridgewater is a good quarterback. I think he would
think,
be like getting. He would.
I think
still
he's
probably
a decent
be the starter
quarterback, but he has limited upside. I think he's like a top 20 quarterback, but like that's the max he could get. That's because he's got
no arm.
He does the limitations right. He doesn't
arm strength. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think they should start Darnold. You know that. I have really, really, really big expectations for him. Unlike Matt, but we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And getting animated and fired up once he does great and amazing and Baker Mayfield gets arrested again.
It was funny because he was mocking Kansas fans when he was grabbing his crotch, Kansas football team. Now he's basically playing for the NFL version of Kansas right. football. So people are going to grab their crotches towards him.
They should.
You weren't a big fan of that draft, were you? I'm getting a bad vibe that you didn't care for that draft.
No, I didn't care for any of the top six picks that we had. Watch the episode a month ago, and you'll see.
Okay, I'll leave you be to that. Oh, it was a little funny little side note here. Chris, do you hear what happened to Chris Long?
No.
He was on Twitter last night, and he said, "I see some people saying, turn on the Stanley Cup. Guys take too many breaks in hockey. Shift changes constantly. For instance, last night, LeBron played the entire game. I rather watch the Grinders." And then he got a lot of backlash from hockey fans saying he's full of it, and then he says it was a joke. So, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that LeBron's a true grinder?
Yeah, he played 48 minutes, man.
Hockey players are a bunch of sissies because they don't play it?
No, I don't think hockey players are that, but look, you can't say LeBron's not a grinder. He played 48 minutes, man. Try running up and down a court for 48 minutes. I can barely do it for 20.
Drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 28 minutes, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said once.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard. And I'm fit. I mean, I'm athletically fit. Like, it's hard to do. I can never do 48 minutes. Ever. Like, that, it's... Mm-hmm. You gotta be in incredible shape to do that. And I'm not exaggerating. It really is a great achievement.
So do you agree with LeBron that because of the grinding he does in the playoffs that he should have a shorter regular season, like cut it by four games or eight?
I don't think so, but I'd keep the regular season as it is, but he can rest a little bit if he wants. I mean, he's incredible, man. He's 33 years old. The durability that he shows, and he plays all 82 games and plays like 40 minutes a night in the playoff. He's probably going to play all 48 minutes throughout the Warriors series. Well, maybe not games 1 through 4, but if the Cavs are facing elimination, he will play all 48 minutes.
But as Matt says, what about that fourth quarter?
He was amazing in that fourth quarter on Sunday. He was amazing in that fourth quarter. Let him do the win.
You weren't here at the time, but about 2 years ago, we had a guy named Kelvin who was in your position, and he was a big LeBron supporter. So I imagine that he would also be getting on Matt if you weren't here. But anyway, so looking at the time, we have a little bit of time left. So now I don't get this opportunity much, but I got to use it now. The CFL. That's right, Matt. I'm taking advantage of this golden opportunity. The CFL is now almost in season. And looking at it, on the U.S. National Sports Show, we're going to be talking about preseason CFL, folks. But CFL is just starting in a few weeks. And, man, I'm excited. There's that gap. I mean, we're still a few months away from meaningful football. I don't count the preseason as meaningful football.
Right.
But yeah, so the CFL is on, and, you know, Matt was just actually walking around the corner right now, so I bet you he's slowly squirming in his seat because we're talking. Oh, does he want to come in?
Yeah. How you doing?
So just before the show is about to wrap up, Matt has come back, and he's coming on to the most exciting part, obviously. We're going to be talking about CFL because this is the one chance I get to do it. I got to take advantage of this golden opportunity.
You know, that's why I came in this room, because I just got back here and I was like, somehow something's going down.
Like, you were too late to stop it. You tried to stop it, but you cannot stop it.
Did I miss the Champions League talk?
No.
He won't talk about soccer.
You know,
so.
But I would shout out to Saracens Rugby Club. They won the Viva Premiership this
weekend.
All right,
stop that.
Yeah, I'm throwing it all in.
I'm not trying to dog on Liverpool, man. Once Salah was out, we knew what the deal was. Were you one of the ones that sent the death letters to the goalie?
No. Both. But Karius. Let's not talk about that.
All I'm saying is, if it wasn't for the fact that Gareth Bale had that ridiculous goal, that Benzema goal would have been.
Or maybe Sergio Ramos decided to rip Mohamed Salah's shoulder out of his socket.
Yeah. But I would say that Benzema goal was one of the greatest goals in
play.
Absolutely. I'm not, but it was genius. Let's take the only guy who can beat us out of here.
Please.
Sorry. Yeah, we can talk CFL.
All right. So we're getting about too close to the hours, but just tell us about your CFL predictions. Who do you think's going all the way this year?
I'm taking Mark Trestman's Toronto Argonauts, and I'm going to take Johnny Manziel's Hamilton Tiger Cats. We'll see.
Oh, okay. What about Trent Richardson, his running ability at Saskatchewan?
We'll see. I'm going to leave it to the residue CFL expert. I got my two teams.
I'm going with Manitoba.
So you're going to that's the closest one. That's probably the Winnipeg.
Blue Bombers. You know how I am, man.
You're a Jets fan. You got to be a Blue
Winnipeg
Bombers.
Till the day I die, man.
I'm going with the
Winnipeg Jets. Got a great quarterback up there.
Matt Nichols, man.
Takes him three downs to get a first down. You know what I'm saying? Unlike these other losers.
Corey Liggett, they got a good pass coverage in Winnipeg, so I'm going with Winnipeg.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going with Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg's got a good shot this
year. We don't want you on our team, yeah.
Why not? Oh,
my God. Oh.
We don't. As a longtime Winnipeg, whatever their name is, fan.
Blue Bombers
fan. That makes sense. They stole it from the Jets.
Yeah, it's an Air Force town, I think. That's why they have the...
Not Jets fan anymore. I'm joking. Jets till I die. Blue Bombers till I die.
I think that's a perfect way.
That's
to
where MLS needs to find show. Their next expansion team, Winnipeg FC.
Yeah.
Anything to add about the CFL?
We'll talk about Brian Colangelo's burner.
About that. Anything else to add, Matt? Since you just came in with the last minute.
No, I mean, condolences to Liverpool and Sebastian.
I'd like to thank Sergio Ramos and Lloris Karius for what ruined a Champions League title, but we will have won that game.
World Cup pick right now. What country?
Argentina.
I'm going France.
France? Okay, I like that.
The Italians.
They're not even in
the World Cup.
I understand that was a good guess every other year.
They're literally, it's like the biggest upset. Italy's not in.
I'm going France.
I'm going Argentina. Argentina versus Brazil final. Argentina comes out on top.
Brazil then. Brazil. I guess I'll go with Brazil. Are they out too?
No, they're in it, but I have no faith in Brazil this go around.
We'll see. It depends if Neymar's healthy. I think Messi has his moment to shine this upcoming World Cup.
What about Portugal?
Nah, they're too weak.
One person? they're just a one-man team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's the best player in the world, unfortunately. I hate admitting that.
I think Mo Salah is a better player than Ronaldo.
He will be. He'll be the golden ball player of the year. He should be. I love Mo Salah. Ramos should be arrested. I'm part of it.
Okay, Todd Bertuzzi.
I'm part of this petition.
Yo.
I'm part of this petition. Ramos is getting sued in the Egyptian court, and I love it.
It won't hold up.
$1.2 billion.
I did see that.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we got an hour three. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right, so this has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. I have been... the most substitute host, Alex Baker.
Sebastian Merrick.
Blue Bombers fan, Matt Trudell.
All right. And one more shout out. Be sure to watch the Rugby Sevens this weekend. Support the U.S. And so stay safe. Be sure to love yourself.
Cavs
and four. Or don't waste your time.